Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. My name is Angela. And I should say no when my husband says he wants a new TV, but instead I ask if we can get an even bigger one, and I am an anomaly.
I'm Jen. I educate younglings in geek lore, and I am an anomaly. Welcome to the podcast.
What do you mean by geek lore?
Oh my gosh, Angela, it was so embarrassing.
Oh no.
Well, it was fun, but then I caught myself and I was like, these kids have no idea what I'm talking about. I went to lunch with Aaron one day because our school lets us do that. We bring lunches and we sit with the kids. And
yeah, us too.
His little friends love me. I'm like the coolest mom ever. So they all circle around me and they're all talking about Star Wars.
Of course.
And I forgot who I was sitting with. And I started talking about like, oh yeah, and you know that guy with the brown hair and he has a beard. And I was like, oh, you mean blah, blah, blah. You know, and I was going using the name that goes with that character and then telling them about the actor who plays that character and the backstory for the and they're just kind of blankly staring at me.
Jen,
like,
hilarious.
He has a cool gun and spaceship.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they'll be more educated than most geeklings.
This past weekend, we drove for like an hour and a half to go see my brother. My nephew turned one this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
My mom and dad drove and they have a DVD player in their car. And we don't have a lot of DVDs really anymore that the kids watch. You know, we have everything streaming. But I do, of course, have Star Wars in every media you can possibly imagine. So I brought my Star Wars DVD because that's what Lorelai wanted to watch. She watched the entire movie. And as soon as Darth Vader came on, because I'm sitting next to her, and she just goes, "Oh, mommy, Darth Vader, bad guys. I get bad guys. Boo, boo. Boo, bad guys. Bad guys, mommy. I get bad guys." And I was like, oh my gosh, my daughter in her sparkly shoes shooting bad guys in Star Wars. I love it. Star Wars, mommy. Star Wars. When Leia gets stunned at the beginning, she looked at me and go, oh no, Leia. Oh no, Leia. Princess Leia.
She's seen it before, haven't
she? Oh, yes.
Okay. So she just says that.
She's like acting it out. I have to have you over to watch it with her because it's fascinating. And when they do, when she does the recording, she'll say, only hope.
Oh.
Right? That's my daughter.
You gotta record that.
Oh, yeah. We have to record that.
She has to be guest. Yes.
Oh, she'll do it too. Anyway, sorry. I just thought of that when you're telling that story. Crazy. So cute.
Remember when we were talking about doing Star Trek Discovery discussions every week?
Oh, no.
Right after? That's kind of impossible for us because of our schedules. But also, we've been noticing that though we've gotten some good feedback from people who are really engaged by this series and in our conversations, the download numbers are kind of low. So we're not sure if you guys really like Discovery or not. You're going to have to tell us.
Interesting.
So we're going to mix this episode up a little bit. We'll talk about two episodes of Star Trek Discovery, but we'll save it to the end. And we'll talk about a really interesting topic that Angela and I love and all of our geek friends love. And that's personality tests and how they apply to different like characters the genres that we love and how we compare to them as well. And if people like it, we might also talk about chaotic good, chaotic evil, neutral good, neutral evil, all those things too in another episode. So we need your feedback. So let us know what you're looking for in an episode from us and if you like it or not. Anyway, I love these tests.
I do too.
And I know that there's like some people out there saying that you can't do these personality tests and expect to get the score that perfectly describes who you are. To get an accurate score, really a friend has to do it for you.
Yep, I agree with that.
But every time I've taken it, it's come out exactly the same. And all my friends agree with the outcome. So I think mine is probably
I don't know because we've never taken it for you.
That's true. But every time I've said, you know, this is how I come out.
Yeah.
Everyone goes, yeah, that's you.
Well, it's funny you say that, though, because since we've started doing this in our group of friends, four other people in our group have your exact personality type.
Yeah, and it's supposed to be rare.
And it's supposed to be rare. And mine is supposed to be one of the more common. And I'm the only one in our group that has, of our like friends, like there's 20 of us, I guess, that regularly kind of see each other. And yeah, I'm the only one.
And the personality test we're referring to right now is Myers-Briggs, mm-hmm. Myers-Briggs, I think. Mm-hmm. And you can do your own free personality test over at 16personalities.com. And it's based on Carl Jung's theories, mm-hmm. on personalities and human characters and whatever.
I got into it and I made everybody take it because I had to take it at work. I've taken it online a few times, but I've also taken one of the ones that people pay for because businesses will sometimes pay to have their employees screened or whatever. And it has nothing to do with aptitude. That's the cool part about it, I think, is that the whole point of the system is not that anybody is like better or worse than anyone else. It's just a point of being able to see how people work together. For you and I remember when I first wanted you to do it, I don't remember whether you had done it or not before that, when you and I were talking about it, I realized that it helped me with someone else in my life that I was having kind of some issues with. Not that I was having issues with you. I was having like a lot of issues with another coworker. And when we took these tests and we talked about the results, it changed our friendship, like our relationship completely. Because we realized we were saying the same things, we just had different ways of saying it.
Right.
Once you realize that some people communicate in different ways, it's easier to talk to them. And so you and I, for instance, I mean, I don't think anyone would be shocked to know that you and I are very different. You know, my personality is sometimes overbearing and I know that. I'm very much like, okay, well, I'm just right. And I think it's good for my personality to be able to step back and go, just because they're not doing it my way doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. There's other ways to approach things. And that's been very helpful for me, for work, for family, for friendships. And I think it's helped you and me also communicate better. And I remember a friend of ours at work is like the exact opposite of me. It wasn't the person I was having a problem with. The weird part is the person I was having a conflict with is actually more like me, which is, I thought that was kind of funny. Anyway, but another person, she's very much more about feeling and story and context. And I'm very much about just give me the list of the things that I need to do. I mean, it's not that I don't care, but I don't need to mess with why or how. Just give me the list of the things you need done and I will get them done in the most, just the easiest way possible. Whereas not everybody's like that. You are more creative type, right?
Yes, empathetic to other people's feelings. And I'd rather word things a way that isn't blunt. And
yeah, you tell us what yours is.
Mine is called INFJ. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go to the personality types now and I'll kind of describe it. You need to tell people what yours is, though.
I'm an ESTJ, the executive or like the manager, the person who makes the plans, who makes sure that people kind of stay in line. Very much a rule follower. Again, like none of these are perfect, but I was shocked. And when I made my mom take it, she was shocked when she read hers, how well described how she was. And the interesting thing that people don't believe, because my husband and I have debated about this, is when I tested, I actually tested between extrovert and introvert. I was like 50-50 or 51-49 extrovert-introvert. So I'm kind of ISTJ-ESTJ. And my husband's like, that's not true. But there's different types of introversion and extroversion. And I definitely like being around people. I like being in front of people. I have a lot harder time being in a big group, especially people I don't know. Interacting with people, I can stand in front of 10,000 people and not worry about myself. But being in a group of people I don't know is very hard for me and I need to get away. So I think that that's where a little bit of the introversion comes in. But I definitely am more social than other people. So I think that's why I go ahead and go with the E, because I am more of an extrovert than I am an introvert. But I know people in my life who are way more extroverted than I am. Like Stephanie, for instance, you know, on a scale of, of extroversion, that's how I know that I'm not like a complete extrovert, because Stephanie's a complete extrovert. Don't you think?
She is.
She is. And that's, again, like
extroverts need to get energized. They need to be around people. Yeah. That's what people, they don't understand about introverts, mm-hmm. extroverts. They think introverts just are socially awkward and don't like to be around people, which is not the truth. It's just that when we recharge, we need to do it alone.
Yes. And I love to be alone. I really do.
Yeah, me too.
I do.
I love you guys, but really.
I do. And so that's the thing, though, is that that's why I realize. But my husband just thinks, which is funny because Jim, when he's out among people, he's so good, like interacting with people. He has a lot of energy. He talks to people. But he does need, he's definitely an introvert because he has to be alone most of
yes.
the time.
Oh, yes. But he's very good at making small talk, I have never been good at. I mean, I can fake it
Me
really
too.
Well.
I'm terrible.
I'm good at faking it and making people think I really care what they're talking about.
Oh, good.
But sometimes I'm just like, you know, I'm over it. But especially like I am so super pumped for Con.
Yeah.
But by the end of Con, I would be like, put me in a room by myself so I can detox. There's been too much peopling going on.
Yeah.
Not with you guys, but I just mean just the entire crowd of people.
Oh, why do you
it's
think
a lot
Jim
of energy.
Spends most of Con in the hotel room? Like he comes,
yeah.
he sees everything, he marvels at things, he watches a couple of things, and then he has to go to the hotel room for 5 hours. And then he comes back.
You should pull up your ENF. What is it?
ESTJ.
ESTJ. Mm-hmm. Pull that up.
I got it.
Do you want to read it?
Sure.
I was going to read mine because
I'll just read the first part.
We'll eventually like talk about this kind of a test that's been applied to characters in
yes.
sci-fi and fantasy because that's what really gets fun because you get to say, oh, I can see that's why I like that character because he's just like me.
Or, yes.
You know, it's fun.
ESTJs, representatives of tradition and order, utilizing the understanding of what's right, wrong, and socially acceptable to bring families and communities together. Embracing the values of honesty, dedication, and dignity, people with the ESTJ personality type are valued for their clear advice and guidance, and they happily lead the way on difficult paths. Taking pride in bringing people together, ESTJs
yes.
often take on roles as community organizers, working hard to bring everyone together in celebration of cherished local events or in events of traditional values that hold families and communities together. Now, mine is a little twisted version of that, I think. For me, it's about my nerd community. We always make fun of my binder at
yes.
Con. This is what's funny is that even my friends know I'm this because when we do our organization for Renaissance Festival, for instance, a month ago, no one else did it. But Andrew was like, Angela, do the list. You know, other people might have the idea that they want to do it. But they trust that I'm going to do it the way they want me to. So everybody's like, Angela, make the list. Tell us what we need to do. I'm okay with that. That's what I do. I bring our group together. You know, and I brought you guys in to our group for Renaissance Festival, remember?
Yes, me and Dave.
11
and
years ago.
Jen and John.
So I am very good at this, at figuring out how people can work together. And sometimes that gets me into trouble, though, because sometimes I wish too hard for people to get along, and they don't always.
Yeah.
But
yeah, that's true.
That is what it is. Okay, do yours.
Mine is INFJ, and these initials stand for things, and I think they're somewhere on the site, but I can't. I know I is introverted.
Introverted, extroverted, and then sensing and...
I don't know what N stands for.
Intuitive.
F is feeling.
Sensing and intuitive is like you judge the world by what's in front of you, or you judge the world by what could be.
Idealist.
Yeah. And sensing, that's me. I deal with reality around me.
F for me means feeling. So I'm very empathetic to others and for myself, even though I kind of restrain that. I think some of those traits that I have, though, that you have described me as a Vulcan sometimes, because I have been trained to hold it back. You know, just anger and frustration. Like, I'd rather not hurt the other person's feelings. So I'll say nothing.
Is that personality wise, if you're around either of us long enough, I'm a lot more Vulcan than Jen is. It's weird because you wouldn't think that.
Yeah. Well, I think what you meant was that instead of like saying, you are really pissing me off,
right?
Just don't say anything at all.
Well, see,
and then you never know what I'm thinking. And that's a trait of INFJ.
Right, but the F you said is feeling and it's T.
Yeah.
I'm T. So we're opposite in three things and then we only have one in common. And mine
judging
is thinking.
Is J.
Yeah.
Oh, yours is thinking, mine's judging.
No, mine is thinking, yours is feeling, and then we both have
okay.
judging.
And judging is not what it sounds like. You're like standing alone going, oh my gosh, look at her.
It is a little what
She's
it sounds
so...
like. What?
It's the capability to determine whether something is right or wrong, or you have a sense, like I have a compass also when it comes to other people.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell when they're BSing I can tell when they're jerk faces. I just know ahead of time. In fact, Dave used to tell me, you're just an introvert. Come on, he's more extroverted than I am. Loosen up. They're cool. You're going to like them. Now, I've been proven wrong before, but most of the time I'm right. So anyway, the judging thing probably comes in there too.
Yes.
Being able to decide way before you get to know somebody what they're like. But anyway, mine is the advocate or the counselor. This personality type is very rare, apparently, but I know a lot of INFJ people. I don't know if they're taking the test wrong or if we all are or if it's just, I don't know. We'll discuss that later, I guess. But we make up less than 1% of the population, but they nonetheless leave their mark on the world as diplomats. They have an inborn sense of idealism and morality, but what sets them apart is the accompanying judging trait. INFJs are not idle dreamers, but people capable of taking concrete steps to realize their goals and make a lasting positive impact. It also says that we want to help other people and we live to fight another day. I guess that's why I just kind of blow things off or try to a lot of times. And when it comes out though. Like I do have like a threshold for holding things back. And eventually it's just like The Simpsons, how Homer has that vein that pops out on his forehead and he's constantly like pushing it back and then eventually explodes.
Yeah.
That's what happens to me.
Hmm.
But anyway, I don't know. They have some popular people here.
Oh, yeah.
Listed at the bottom of this page. Do you want to list yours?
Yeah.
And then
I have John D. Rockefeller and Judge Judy.
Judge Judy, I love her.
Sarah Michelle Gellar and Boromir in Lord of the Rings. Dwight Schrute in The Office. I love that. I'm pretty sure that Leslie Knope from Parks and Rec is also an ESTJ. I have a feeling. And depending on which one you look at, the Star Wars one, we can look at the fantasy characters together later. You do yours.
Well, I have Galadriel, Aragorn, Nicole Kidman.
I see that.
Alanis Morissette, Mother Teresa, which I don't know about, but okay. And Nelson Mandela are some of the people on my list. I'll take Galadriel.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
I'm good with that.
You know what? I have somewhere pinned on my, I have a board, like.
Yeah.
It's called Figuring Myself Out that I pin things like this to. And I found this really hilarious.
Is it the Dictators one?
It's the Dictators one.
Yeah, yeah. You need to tell me. I've seen that one before. What is your...
Let me look it up again. I was looking for it. I think it was Hitler.
Awesome. You know, Hitler was a tortured artist.
He was.
Is mine Stalin? Yeah.
I think it was either Stalin or Trotsky.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking it up right now. Where can I find it? Oh, here it is. Figuring myself out. And you guys can follow us on Pinterest and see all these things yourself. You can find me under Sevryll, S-E-V-R-Y-L-L. Okay, there's Star Trek.
I don't think the Star Trek one is right.
No, I don't either. Oh, there's a Wheel of Time one and a Harry Potter one.
I haven't seen the Wheel of Time one.
Is it? No, I'm sorry. It's Harry Potter.
No, I have the Harry Potter one in front of me.
There needs to be a Wheel of Time one.
There does. Maybe we can make a Wheel of Time one.
Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, if you're a Wheel of Time fan, email us who you think is who. And then we'll make one. That would be a good one because it doesn't exist or I haven't seen it yet.
I haven't either. And Stranger Things, it needs to.
Oh, yeah.
We need a Stranger Things one.
They've done that.
Here it is. I found it.
Okay.
The Brutally Honest Chart.
Love that.
Which loathsome waste of oxygen are you? Okay. It makes me a little uncomfortable to even talk about it because it's not funny.
It's not.
But
it is.
At the same time.
It is kind of funny.
I don't see INFJ on this chart.
Come on. It's Hitler.
It's actually Vladimir Lenin.
Nice. INFJ?
And you are
ESTJ.
You're Joseph Stalin.
Nice.
So no wonder we get along so great.
Great.
Unfortunately, you're also Satan.
Oh, okay.
And Dick Cheney.
Well, I can see that I would be Dick Cheney. I can see that.
I have listed also under this Osama bin Laden and Adolf Hitler.
Well, that's nice.
Nice.
That's very nice.
You know what's funny? Is that Nicolas Cage is on here.
As a villain?
The loathsome waste of oxygen.
That's funny. Okay, so one of my favorite ones that I am is in the Marvel personalities. I am Pepper Potts.
Oh, yeah.
And Maria Hill.
I can see that.
So I think that's very...
Who am I on that one?
Hold on. Who did? ISFJ?
No, INFJ.
Ooh, you are Captain America.
Of course.
Jean Grey, Groot, and Doctor Strange.
Okay.
And I am Maria Hill, Pepper Potts, and Nick Fury.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would also think that you're a little bit of Tony Stark.
Let's see if Tony Stark is on here. Oh, Iron Man is an ENTP. I don't know. I'm trying to remember. I think, this is the Marvel one. Jen is...
INTJ?
No. Jen is whoever Harley is. I'll find the DC.
INTP?
I'll find the DC one.
Okay.
DC Myers. It's really kind of fun to do this with your friends and see, just see how it comes out. Okay, here's this one. Wonder Woman is an ENFJ, so close to you. Let's see.
E, what does that stand for again? Extrovert.
You're Poison Ivy, ENFJ.
Oh my gosh.
And Jen is Harley Quinn, ENFP.
Yeah, our friend Sith Jen.
Yeah, Jen and Stephanie are kind of auxiliary members of Anomaly because we talk about them a lot.
Yeah, it's funny. I've come across several Star Wars charts too, and they're... You're always, ENTJ is always Darth Vader and Anakin.
ESTJ, depending on which chart you look at, is either Leia or Vader. It depends on which chart you're looking at.
You're ESTJ,
I'm an ESTJ,
sorry.
Yeah.
Well, on this chart, you're Mace Windu or Leia.
Really?
The one I'm looking at right now.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And I also like who I am on the Harry Potter, I am McGonagall.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think it fits, though.
I think Professor Lupin.
I think you... Hold on. Yep.
I don't have it in front of Professor me right Lupin. Now, but...
I honestly think Hermione is a little bit of an ESTJ, but maybe she's more I.
No, she's not. She is totally an extrovert. She's always interjecting, injecting herself into conversations and holding her hand up to be chosen.
I don't think this one is right. I don't think the Harry Potter one is right.
No.
I mean, I can see...
We need to redo these for people.
Yeah, we do. I can see them. Well, the other part... Well, I mean, characters are definitely archetypes. You know, it's just like people. You don't always fit in exactly perfectly.
Yeah, that's true. It also depends on your upbringing, because some of that could be...
Yeah.
Taught.
That's true.
To be restricted.
And I think sometimes too, like depending on the situation that you're in, you know, in certain situations you're in a little, like maybe in your family, you're one way, and maybe at work you're a different way.
That's
and I don't know
too.
That it varies like a lot, but I think sometimes depending on what your situation is, you have a tendency to maybe adjust, which I think makes sense. I do think there's some innate qualities that you have, but generally, sometimes it varies. Ooh, there's a Mass Effect one. Sorry, I got excited. So I don't really know that much about Mass Effect, so you're going to have to say if it's true.
Yes.
Okay.
Smoking Man, who's that guy?
The cigarette smoking man?
Or just the smoking man?
Okay, hold on. Oh, ESTJ, Miranda Lawson?
Yeah, I could see
that. Okay, and then the INFJ is Thane Kryos.
Yes, I can see that too. Sometimes in the Star Wars chart, INFJ is Obi-Wan.
Oh, yeah.
And ESTJ is Darth Vader, which I always thought was hilarious because we're friends. Yep. And when we fight, we're like Anakin and Obi-Wan.
Perhaps.
But let's try to think of, from what we know of the Star Trek Discovery guys, the characters, who we think they might be in the Myers-Briggs test. I think Michael Burnham... I'm going to say she's ESTJ.
Let me think.
No, she's INSTJ.
I think she's ISTJ more than ESTJ because...
She's Vulcan and very happy to be by herself.
Yeah. Yes, I agree. But she is very analytical, which makes sense. And she does deal with the world that's in front of her. The easiest way, like when you talk about this, sometimes it's easier to break it up into the four, you know, because that's the whole point of it is that in these four qualities, you're usually one or the other. And that's how you get these 16 different types. You know, is she introverted or extroverted? I think she's definitely introverted. Is she sensing or intuitive? I think she's definitely more sensing. She deals with the world as it is a given to her. She's a scientist. You know, she's dealing with facts. As far as like thinking or feeling, she's definitely thinking because she's been trained that way. Now that may change, but... Right now, I think that she's definitely thinking and judging. I think she has definitely a moral compass. Not that you don't have a moral compass if you're perceiving, but it's definitely more strictly enforce it. That could be a toss up, maybe.
What about the captain?
INTJ.
The mastermind. Yeah. That's true. He's more Emperor Palpatine.
Yes, definitely more Emperor Palpatine.
But what about Philippa? So who is Philippa Georgiou?
Okay, let me look. She is an ESFP.
The performer.
Mm-hmm.
No. Wait, ENFP. The champion.
Yes.
I don't know.
Winter's the...
So she's more like Qui-Gon a little bit.
Okay.
Or...
I don't know. She seems more introverted to me, but we didn't really see her that much. Or maybe even...
Ron Weasley? I don't know.
What about Cadet Tilly? I think she's an ENFJ, Padme, the giver.
ENFJ. Yeah, you think?
Or, you know what? I think she... I'm trying to remember. What is my sister's type? I think she's my sister's type.
ENFJ.
ENFJ, the protagonist. Very much a giver. Hold on. Let me read it. You'll
Albus
listen.
Dumbledore.
Firm believers in people. Radiate authenticity, concern, and altruism. Unafraid to stand up and speak when they feel something needs to be said.
Yeah.
She finds it natural and easy to communicate with others, especially in person.
At parties.
Yeah. I do think, in like the beginning of this, it's natural born leaders full of passion and charisma. I think that's where we're headed with her.
Yes, I agree. Especially after the last episode.
Yeah, here we go. Reaching out, inspiring others. I honestly think that's who she is.
Because she's awkward at the same time.
I know what you mean, but that's the thing is there's different stages.
Socially
awkward.
Yeah,
she's a little socially awkward, mm-hmm. but I think she's coming into her own. She's growing into herself. Are you writing these down?
Nobody should. Ugh, I should be writing them down.
Yeah, we'll figure it out later.
What about Saru?
Ooh. Wait.
He is introverted.
He would definitely be, you know who he is? He's exactly whatever. Hold on. I got this. He is ISFJ, C-3PO. The protector.
You're right, because he's always sensing mm-hmm. danger and wants to make people run away. And
I'm good at this.
Okay. And what is the initials again?
ISFJ. Dedicated and warm protectors, always ready to defend their loved ones.
I'm looking for that in the Harry Potter one. I cannot see that personality type. INFJ or S? You said F.
ISFJ.
S. Okay. Neville Longbottom.
Oh, what do you mean?
He's the defender. So I'm just comparing him to a Harry Potter one.
Yeah.
Who he's ISFJ,
definitely.
The defender, Neville.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I do. I do think that. What about Ash? His name's Ash, right? The new security officer?
Yes.
We don't really know a lot about
him.
We
don't.
He seems pretty open.
Yeah. I know who Stamets is.
Okay.
ENTP.
ENTP.
Yeah. ENTP is the inventor.
Mm-hmm. He's extroverted, intuitive, thinking, and perceiving.
Yes.
Quick, ingenious, stimulating, alert, and outspoken, resourceful in solving new and challenging problems, adept at generating conceptual possibilities and then analyzing them strategically. Bored by routine, will seldom do the same thing the same way.
I think that like completely describes him.
Yeah, and ISFJ, which was Saru, is introverted, sensing, feeling, and judging. Traditional, loyal, kind, observant of others, values, and cultural norms are often consistent with work, known for their kindness and willingness to go any length to help those in need, strive to create an orderly environment. I think that last one is him. I mean, he seems pretty kind, but it's like he's forcing himself to be more of a leader.
Yeah.
He may not be best fitted for a command.
That's why it's kind of interesting.
Okay, what about Stranger Things? Because we know Mike, we know Dustin, Eleven, and Lucas. Dustin might be, do you think he's the Ron Weasley?
Oh, sure.
The ENFP, the champion?
Yeah.
This is basically raid group stuff here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So it fits right in with their system
their
of
gang.
A raid group.
Yeah.
I love the way they organize it. But warm, enthusiastic, energetic, and full of ambition, adaptable to many situations, and often see the future possibilities in life, excel in many aspects of what they do, and hold friends close to their heart. Firm believer that life is for the living. I guess that's him, yeah, ENFP. Mm-hmm. So Mike is more of a leader.
Yeah.
Do you think he's a strategist? INTJ?
Yeah, I can see that.
Natural leaders that strive for perfection, independent, conceptual, and adaptive, quickly see patterns in external events and develop long-range explanatory perspectives, skeptical and independent, tend to have an aura of defiant self-confidence.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. I think he might be INTJ. What do you guys think?
Yeah.
And Lucas.
He's more like the Han Solo.
But would he be an inventor?
Hold on.
Defender? No, he's not Neville.
No. Is he an introvert or an extrovert?
Maybe he's the craftsman, ISTP. Introverted, sensing, thinking, perceiving. Fiercely independent, adventuresome. Don't like much attention. I don't know about that. More interested in their own pursuits rather
ESTP?
Than others. No. ESTP. The promoter?
I don't know.
Extroverted, sensing, thinking, perceiving, flexible, and tolerant. They want to act to solve their problems using their quick wit and cleverness, excel at selling their ideas, enjoy activities involving physical action and risk-taking. Yes, I think that's him. I think he's one of the bravest, but so is Dustin. They all are brave. But that is definitely, he's the promoter. He's Jenny Weasley.
Yeah. Jenny Weasley's awesome.
So, 11. Who do you think 11 is? I think she's an introvert, so, right?
I think she's an INFP. Yeah, the INFP on Marvel is a lot of the more powerful characters. Idealistic, dedicated, curious, fueled by intense feeling and deeply held ethics. Loyal to the people that are important to them, intensely focused on making the world a better place. Flexible and laid back by nature, but aggressively defensive if a person, value, or cause is threatened. Boom.
That's her. The Dreamer, INFP, Luna Lovegood. Who is she in Marvel?
Spider-Man, INFP. Kitty Pryde, Falcon. Spider-Man is like arguably one of the most powerful characters in Marvel. And Kitty Pryde's pretty awesome.
What would you say about...
Or she might be an INFJ.
Will.
Oh.
I say he's ISFP, the artist.
That's what Jim is.
Introverted, sensing, feeling, perceiving, quiet, friendly, sensitive, and kind, loyal, and committed to the people and values that they care about, dislike disagreements and conflicts, and do not force their opinions on others, like to have their own space, and often take matters too personally.
Yep.
Zombie boy.
Yeah.
That's what they call him now. He doesn't like that, and I don't blame him. What about his mom?
Oh, Joyce?
Joyce, yes.
Joyce.
The provider?
Let's see.
ESFJ. She would be Lily Potter.
Okay. I'm cool with that.
Potter. Extroverted, sensing, feeling, judging, warm-hearted, conscientious, and cooperative, want harmony in their world and work with the determination to establish it. Like to work with others to complete tasks accurately and on time. Notice what others need in their day-to-day lives and try to provide it. Yes.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good one. Yeah, if y'all like this topic, you want to explore other shows, let us know. We'll try to make it a segment sometimes.
Yeah, if you've seen one that's interesting, or if you're a Wheel of Time fan and you have opinions about Wheel of Time characters.
Oh, yeah.
I think there are so many characters we need to go into more detail before we do make decisions about those characters. So
yes, that's true. I think that's always a fun topic. I know that whenever we talk about it on the Anomaly Facebook group, people always reply.
Well, and we'd be curious if you've taken it. You are.
That's true. You know what? For next episode, we both should take the test for each other.
Okay. I'll do that.
And see how it turns out. You take it from me, I'll take it from you.
I would be game to do that.
Okay. All right, so should we talk about the last two episodes of Star Trek Discovery?
Yes.
So we're going to pair these together, like we said, because we're not sure if you guys like it. So you're going to have to let us know if you like the show and if you want us to keep covering it. But the last two episodes were called Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad, which is episode 7. And this is a Latin term that means if you want peace, prepare for war, which is from Plato's... Nomoi, or I don't know how to say it. It means laws, but it's si vis pacem parbellum.
Okay.
That's my way of saying it in Texan.
Adorable.
Shields up. Red alert. Spoilers decloaking off the starboard bow. Yeah, that was a warning.
The naming conventions have been very interesting for these episodes.
Yeah, some of them are really long.
Yeah, and just a lot to unpack.
Listen, the ship is in danger. We have been caught in a 30-minute time loop. And every second that you doubt me brings us all closer to death.
Intruder alert. Shots fired.
Want him locked down.
Drive overload critical.
Wait!
Go, go, go!
Make yourselves at home.
I have.
Star Trek Discovery. New episodes Sundays.
So the first one is when they're stuck in the time loop. I love a good time loop episode. I don't know about you.
Yeah.
You didn't like it?
I mean, I did like the episode, but just go ahead and let's just talk about it before we just judge it.
Yeah, no, I mean, we're definitely in spoiler territory.
Yeah, we'll play the spoiler.
We don't want to spend too much time dealing with this. So anyway, I like Rainn Wilson as Harry Mudd. I do think that there was a lot of weird unanswered questions, even though they dealt with him. He still knows the secret of the drive.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I felt like there was just some stuff missing. And honestly, I think every episode we're getting more Star Trek-y. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We're getting more into the type of episodes that I kind of expect in a more modern way. So that's good. I really like Stamets. I really like Anthony Rapp. I enjoyed this episode because he got to be so big, you know, he was such a big part of it, and his frustration as each loop went through, I just thought was kind of funny. Also, in some of the ways that it played out, I realized that the whole point was that he's gone through it several times, and so he can anticipate what they're going to do and that kind of stuff, but I just don't think that Lorca, he seemed out of character. Do you know what I mean? There were several passes of the time loop. They showed him capturing the captain, and the captain, you know, fought off a bunch of heavily armed Klingons. It just seemed that he wouldn't just go quietly. You know, in his mind, it's the first time.
Right.
You know, so every time he's doing this, he thinks it's the first time. So I just feel like it was out of...
You're right. I agree.
The writing was very much designed to make this premise work. I don't know. They're telling you, Lorca gives zero F's about anything, and he will do anything to protect the Discovery. Like, that's one thing, is that he...
And win the war. That's the thing.
He will do anything
about
to protect Discovery. He hates Harry Mudd. He would die trying to kill him.
Yes.
I don't know. I feel like some of that was unbelievable in certain ways, just because I feel like that's not what his character would do. And I also thought, even though I think the love story is cute, I thought it was sort of forced.
Too fast.
Yeah.
Too fast. That's what I was saying in the last episode. We discussed Lathy, which I think is the proper way to pronounce it.
Okay.
Lathy or Lathy.
I don't know.
I said I hope that it's not a love interest, you know, between the two of them, Ash and Michael.
Mm-hmm.
It feels forced. Like, it happened too fast.
Yeah.
And I do like them together as a couple, but I feel like that should happen next season.
Be more organic. You know?
Yeah. But I guess they feel like she needs to be more human, and they think that this is the best way to explore
like humanize
that.
Her, yeah.
Her story.
Well, but so. I do, you know, on the same line, though, I do think it's interesting that they're exploring that. I'm hoping that that this means the theories about him being some kind of traitor are low, because that would just be like a double stab in the back. But of course,
yes.
Who knows? I like the idea of showing the effects of the DNA on mm-hmm. Stamets, and this, mm-hmm. I kind of like a less nice version of Guinan, you know, because he has kind of now he's got this idea of the universe, and he's looking at the universe differently. And you kind of got that feeling from Guinan. You never knew exactly why.
Right.
But she sort of had this extraordinary sense of time and space and all of these things. So you got kind of a Guinan with more attitude type of guy. And so
yes.
I think that's kind of neat to have that on the ship.
I think that's my favorite part of the episode mm-hmm. was his knowledge of what was going on mm-hmm. and how he approached it, you know, and
right.
how he tried to solve it. And I liked that exploration of his character.
Because
most of the time we just see him being a jackass to everyone. And it gets a little tiresome.
I also like Cadet Tilly with her hair all crazy.
Yes.
Party. She's great. I love her.
I do like her. And she was drunk, too.
Oh, I know.
Funny.
Well, hey.
Drunk Tilly. Tilly's fun.
She's adorable. I would totally hang out with her.
I think I would, too. My friends are always opposite of me. So I gravitate towards them because they help me be less concerned about, you know, being proper and nice to everyone. And
that's true.
I have more fun with when I'm around people like that, which Michael needs because Michael needs to have more fun too. She's a little too confined.
She does. She does.
And she cares too much about what people think of her.
But yeah, but overall, I thought it was a good episode. It was interesting.
I did too. I just felt like they started thinking, okay, we need to make this more Star Trek-y. So let's follow the Star Trek formula and what did this series of Star Trek do? Okay, they did this. And look, they did it too. And look, it's over here in this series as well. So
we need to do it.
And that's what it felt like to me. E equals MC squared. Okay, now it's Star Trek.
But remember that like one of the first episodes of TNG was a Naked Now reboot.
Yes, so, and I don't think that was their strongest episode.
I agree, but I'm just pointing out that you and I agree that we love TNG as a whole, and they did something similar when they started. So I really don't mind some of these rebooted episodes, and especially because this one had a slightly different twist to it.
I don't think it's rebooted. It's just a formula that they're following it's time travel. And Harry Mudd. What do you think of his character?
I don't know.
Why is he showing up over and over again?
You know, he's chaotic evil. He's a trickster. He's causing trouble to cause trouble. He doesn't care. He doesn't care what
happens. I think he might be chaotic neutral. Is that
no, I think he's, well, maybe he's chaotic neutral. Because he really doesn't care.
He doesn't give, like you said, an F.
He just wants to make money. But he does not, he does like spreading mayhem, though.
It's low-key.
You know, so maybe we're in more Harley Quinn territory than... I would think in a chaotic neutral, you'd have more like not good natured, but I don't know.
Like he it would eventually help the Discovery.
Well, he would help them if it would benefit him.
Yes.
You know, so I could see them trying to make a deal with him at some point, where it would be an offer that was too good to refuse. Then he would help them. But I don't know. I mean, it's hard to say just because. He's a cool character, and I like Rainn Wilson, but it feels shoehorned in because it's like, oh, here's this character we might recognize.
That's true.
So
it's like what they did with Khan in the new films.
It's not apples to apples because that really was a reboot. So they're really telling like similar stories in a different timeline, whereas this is supposed to be part of the timeline that we think it's supposed to be part of the timeline that we're used to. So who knows?
Well, what do you think about the whole time paradox thing that they created with a stone? A time stone?
What?
It was like a jewel or a stone that he had.
Oh, it was something that
was what caused the time shifts. Or going back to Enterprise, the Vulcans never believed in time travel.
Well, they have to because by the time Voyager comes along, there are actual people in charge of keeping the timeline straight.
Yeah, but it's closer to Enterprise than it is to Voyager.
Well, that's true.
She seemed to have a definition for it and, you know, knew what kind of stone it was and that the Vulcan Academy had a whole thing about it.
I kind of took it as just technobabble, like, oh, this is how this works. Oh,
it was an easy explanation for the whole conundrum, I think.
I mean, I understand what you're asking. I just didn't put that much thought into it.
Canon nerds, you need to let us know what you think of that.
Yes.
Okay, yes. Yeah, so that one was Magic to Make the Sanest Man Go Mad, episode 7. The next one is the Latin...
Sivi Pacem Para Bellum.
If you want peace, prepare for war. That is episode 8, the one that just aired.
We Kelpians are born afraid. It's how we survive. My whole life, I have never known a moment without fear. Not one moment. Until now. There will be time to grieve. This is not that time.
Star Trek Discovery. New episodes Sundays.
Interesting stuff.
I really liked this one.
More Trek feeling kind of episode. Also, an away team. Haven't had that really. And an interesting character study for several of the characters.
Yes, I'm really liking the Admiral. I always thought she looks so familiar. Where do I know her from? She was on Chicago Hope.
She was on Chicago Hope. I still say she reminds me of Vosh. I know she's not her. But I'm totally confused about what happened to her. I thought that the Klingon woman was going to go with her somewhere. But I can't figure out if she killed her or if she let her go or
I think she let her go.
Okay. I was talking with Rico about this, and all I had to do was show 2 seconds of either her going out an airlock or her piloting a shuttle. And then that would have been clear, because when they did the dialogue, you couldn't tell. Okay, so if she let her go, the whole premise is that she would let her go so she could have asylum, but she didn't go with her.
I think it was because she was suspected or maybe they were on to her.
Did she change her plan maybe because her guys got killed? I mean,
yeah,
that's,
maybe.
I didn't think about that until just now.
This is the character that had relations with Ash, right? This is the Klingon woman who was interrogating him.
Was it?
Because her face is burned on one side. And when they escaped, when Captain Lorca and Ash escaped, I thought that they shot her in the face or something.
No, he just like beat the crap out of her. I thought he killed that one. But I apologize. I keep getting the Klingons confused. I will look that up.
Yeah, I think it was her.
Okay. But you kind of get the impression, though, that I'm getting the impression that the Klingons are so overpowered, right? That the only thing that's going to bring them down is dissension in the ranks.
That's true.
And so I feel like she has to be part of that. Or we don't know what happened. She did something and let go. If it's she's the one I'm thinking she is, didn't she let that guy go?
The torchbearer guy, the albino Klingon.
Yeah. But see, the theory is that the albino Klingon is actually Ash.
Yeah, you mean the actor?
No, I mean theory is that it is actually him, because there's, see, again, this, we're going into like we're going into conspiracy theory territory, and like,
where are you reading this?
Oh, I see it places. Okay, so are you ready for this?
Okay, tell me.
This is not my theory. I saw it somewhere. The guy who plays Ash actually did play the albino Klingon, but the idea is that they're not the same person. But the fan theory is, you know, it's been shown that Klingons have the ability to surgically alter themselves to look like humans. That basically that's what she did, is she somehow let him go. And all of it was made up. The story about him being tortured and everything is all made up, you know, and that's basically why they abducted Lorca, with the intention of letting them escape.
Hmm.
And that now he's like embedding himself.
I don't know. That sounds a little far-fetched.
No, I mean, again, like, I'm not saying that
it's an interesting theory.
It's an interesting theory. And the thing is that he does not necessarily, that doesn't necessarily mean, even if it's true, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's bad. It's possible that he is forsaking the Klingons, you know?
Hmm. But he's a good dancer. Do Klingons know how to dance?
I don't know. Again, like, it's not real. I have to be open to anything.
So I think, remember when I was talking about in our last Discovery episode, I said that there's no way that they're going to write a rescue of another top ranking Starfleet official, because they can't. They've already rescued two,
right?
Or one. And then now it would just be like, someone's captured again. Oh, it's not as dangerous because, you know, they keep rescuing them. I thought that she was going to die because they knocked off Philippa.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, this admiral hasn't been on the show a whole lot. She just kind of shows up here and there. So I thought maybe she was expendable, but maybe she has a bigger role to play. And this was the way to save her, is that there was someone on the inside who got her out, because then it's more accepting than, you know, Starfleet being able to swoop in and rescue her and get out without, you know, being scathed.
Hmm.
But I hope she's not dead.
Oh,
I like her.
I like her too.
And we need another strong woman in leadership position, I think, on this show,
mm-hmm.
because they keep killing them off or putting them in jail or demoting them or making them cadets or something. We need an admiral to put them in their place.
I agree.
And I say them, I mean Lorca. Lorca needs to be brought down a few pegs, especially after what he did to her.
Yeah.
Which I think you and I are in agreement that probably was intentional.
Oh, not probably, like completely.
Yes, to save his butt.
Completely likely.
How disappointed will he be when she shows up?
The other reason I know this is weird, but the other reason that they're saying this about Ash is that the actor who is listed as the albino Klingon, like, doesn't exist.
What?
They have an actor listed that plays him, but there's no, like, record of the actor, like, doing anything ever.
Well, I mean, he could be a new guy.
I know. I'm just telling you that.
You think it's a conspiracy? That's
just one of the things.
It's fun. I love it. It's like all those theories about who Rey's parents are and where, mm-hmm. who Snoke really is and those crazy town theories.
Yeah. I'm looking at this trying to figure out who the female Klingon is who plays. I think you're right. I think it is the same person, but.
The same character that
Laurel
abused Ash.
That commander.
Every time I say his name, I think of the Pokemon guy character Ash. Aaron watches Pokemon, not me.
Oh, yeah. We don't do Pokemon. I mean, not like intentionally. It's just, yeah, I don't know. All right. Well, I think we've done enough.
Yeah. So tell us what you thought of these episodes. We haven't heard from anyone in a couple of weeks on this. Let us know if we got anything right. What you think about Angela's crazy conspiracy theory about mm-hmm. Ash and the albino Klingon.
I still don't trust him regardless, you know?
I do. I think I trust him. They forced this too fast, though, the whole relationship thing. Mm. But that's just our opinion. What's yours? You can get in contact with us by calling our voicemail line at 432-363-4742. Send us email or a voice memo to girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks@gmail.com. And you can tweet at us like several people have done last week. Hello to you, too. And you can join our Facebook group, and that's where a lot of discussion happens. Head over to our website at anomalypodcast.com, click on contact, and all of our social circles and our contact information will be on that page if you missed it in this episode. That's it. Mm-hmm. We are getting prepared for Comic-Con once again.
Yep.
If you are in the Austin area, in Texas, or the surrounding states, and you fly to these kind of things ordinarily on the whim.
Yeah.
Well, come see us because we're going to be there at a booth and you can make our booth your home base and hang out with us. We're going to be in cosplay like we always are. And we will report on the panels. And I think we're going to do more of those kind of things, just like live Facebook chats and
yep.
things like that. And
they'll be fun. And Rico will be there with us. So we'll have some.
Yeah, Rico from Trex and Sci-Fi will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And this weekend, we're going to the Texas Renaissance Festival. And it looks like the weather's going to be warmer than we usually have this time of year, which I'm not opposed
to. It's not, but at least it's not. Today is an especially warm day. Tomorrow, we have a cool front coming in. So hopefully it won't mm-hmm. be that bad for this weekend.
Yeah, I just don't want it to be rainy. No more Swamp of
no.
Sorrows.
No more Swamp
that happened
of Sorrows.
One year. That's the Swamp true. Of Sorrows was horrible.
Yeah, that was a bad
because we camp there at the Renaissance Festival.
We do.
And it gets kind of muddy when it rains.
Well, yeah, it does. It gets very messy.
Yuck.
But that's okay.
Well, thank you for listening.
Yeah.
We'll be back maybe in another 2 weeks.
Yep.
Yep, I'm Jen.
And I'm Angela. And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
We like stars. All the stars in the sky. Especially the stars you give us on iTunes. To us, you are the biggest star in the cosmos. Go to iTunes and give us a rating. Thanks.
It's been long.
Absolutely not. We're not doing it. We're not singing the song again. No.
Gamma Quadrant Golf Clap.